Come unto Jesus. Give him your life today. Come unto Jesus. Let him have his way. Come. Thank you, praise team. Parents and people who had parents. When I was growing up, I was a PK, and I hated it. And by the time I was 14, I'd bought my own motorcycle, my own leather jacket, a switchblade, my motorcycle boots, and I decided that I was going to out-drink, out-smoke, out-fornicate, out-fight everybody else to prove that just because I was a PK, I was as good as they were. Because what I'd been taught in church is, God will get you if you sin, and if you do anything wrong, you'll burn in hell. And I was not taught about the great love of God, except once in a while when they'd sang, "O love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless and strong. You wicked sinners, you're all going to hell." They wrote that verse in. And I was not taught the things I've learned since coming to the Lord in 1969 when I returned from Vietnam, a missionary from Africa. Not an American missionary to Africa, but an African missionary to the U.S. who would not turn loose of me because he said, "God's hand is on your life, and I'm not leaving you alone until you give your life to God." And he wouldn't. And I did. And then I began to get acquainted with people outside of the religious traditions I'd grown up in. And I began to find out that God wanted me healthy. God wanted me wealthy. God wanted me blessed. God wanted me to enjoy life. He had come that I might have life in abundance, the God kind of life. Not suffering for Jesus, but being blessed because Jesus suffered for me.
Right, amen. Right, amen.
And I learned the joy of salvation. I learned that when you begin to draw nigh unto God, He draws nigh unto your finances. And I watched God turn my financial life around. I watched God turn health situations around. I watched God do things that are phenomenal that I never knew was possible to enjoy in God. And I found out I can enjoy being a born-again child of God. I can have fun and know the peace of God, and God will go to the movies with me. I mean, I got my driver's license. I was out with a bunch of buds one night, and they said, "War Wagon showing at the Chief Drive-In. Let's go see it." Well, everybody was in my car because I was the only one with money for gas. And we're in my car, and I can't say, "Well, I can't go." And so a couple of guys climbed into the trunk because they charge you by person. And a couple of them didn't have money, and they climbed in the trunk, and we went to the Chief Drive-In, and we found a parking place and waited until it was a dark part of the movie, and I popped the trunk, and they got out and got in the car. And we're sitting there, and I'm watching John Wayne and War Wagon, and I'm holding on to the seat because I'd been taught that if I ever went to the movies, demons would drag me off the seat, screaming right into hell. And then I really began to get these conflicted feelings because I'm enjoying this movie. I'm sinning and I'm liking it. I may go to hell, but I'm going to go there smiling because it's a good movie. And every time I see an ad on one of the movie channels for War Wagon with John Wayne, I remember that night of torment holding on to my seat of my 65 Plymouth Fury. I'm holding on to the seat, scared the demons are going to come and drag me right out of my car. And I'm wondering who's going to get my car home. But I found out that God will go to the movies with me. In fact, I've been in movies and had God say, "Did you catch that?" And I'm going, "You're giving me sermon points in the movie?" But I found out that God will go to the drag races with you. He's been many times with me. God will ride motorcycles with you. And he doesn't hold on tight. And he doesn't even say slow down. I found that God wants to be a part of my finances. And so I've lived a life that my parents, with their suffering for Jesus, could have never lived. I've seen God heal me of death sentences. I've seen God work financial miracles that were in the natural impossible, but he did it. And seen God do things for me that I had good friends that couldn't make God do what God joyfully did for me. And I'm like, "Daddy, I'm liking this." And I have people say, "You shouldn't talk about God that way." He's Daddy. Amen. He's my Father. Amen. And that's scriptural. Abba Father, Daddy God. Amen. And when he becomes your daddy, you don't mind being kept. But my daddy talks to me about insignificant things. My God has showed me how to repair things that I didn't know how to fix. God has showed me how to understand things that I could not understand. And I just stop and James pray in the Spirit for a little bit, and all of a sudden, I just knew how to do what I didn't know how to do. And you can't explain that to religious people. They're so busy suffering for Jesus that they don't know the joy of the Lord is your strength. Yes. When you get happy with God, you get stronger. Amen. You get fearless. And I found out Daddy God wants me to drive nice cars because I'm representing him. Daddy God wants me to live in nice houses and have nice furniture. Amen. God wants me to wear good things. Right. And parents, please, let your children know that God wants them to have a career, not a job. Because God doesn't want them working for a living. Because when you love what you're doing, you'll never work a day in your life. I have pastors tell me about the labor and the struggles and the work of the ministry. And I read Ministry Magazine and Charisma, and I hear all these pastors talking about the struggle and the pain and all that. And I'm going, "I'm having the time of my life. I get happy with God. I get happy in the Word. I don't struggle and fight all week to find a message that won't offend anybody. I just offend everybody. I'm an equal opportunity offender. I'm going to bring you God's Word, His truth, and if you don't like it, that's your problem. Because it's changed my life." Parents, communicate to your children the goodness of God, the marvelous splendor of God, the way God will cooperate with you. The children of Israel, all they had to do is trust God. And he said, "I want to give you houses you didn't buy. I want to give you cities you didn't build. I want to give you crops you didn't plant, orchards you didn't tend, vineyards you didn't keep. And I'm going to give you people to take care of it for you so you can sit in the house and tell them what to do, because I haven't called you to work for a living. I've called you to receive the living I've called the earth to produce for you." Amen. Say this with me. My God has ordered the earth to cooperate with me for my good. Then he gave me the ability to order the earth for my good. all things work together
for my good
when I line up
with his purpose.
Well, Pastor, that sounds like Romans 8. It is. All things work together for the good of them who are called according to what? His purpose. What is his purpose? I am come that you might have life and have that life in abundance, not barely get by, not suffering for Jesus. And yes, it hurts my heart to see people in China being beaten and murdered for their faith. It hurts my heart to see people in Syria being stoned and chopped to pieces for their faith. But, hun, it's because their parents lied to them. They didn't tell them about the goodness of the Lord. Some people ask me, Pastor Jim, why don't you like Watchman Nee's writings? Spiritual Authority is the only one of his books I will recommend, because nearly every other work he wrote was written from a perspective of martyr mentality and suffering for Jesus. But you see, he was in a country where they teach suffering for Jesus and giving all for your faith, rather than teaching them how to rule and reign with Christ and overthrow the oppressive government and bring about truth. Why are we teaching kingdom on Wednesday nights? Because until enough people get a knowledge of what the kingdom of God is, it's not heaven. It's not Christianity. It's ruling and reigning in the earth as kings and priests unto God and bringing the earth under subjection to God. God intends for every nation on the face of the earth to come under kingdom authority. That won't happen by being martyred, because your testimony ends with your breath. It comes in the army. You were taught a good soldier doesn't die for his country. A good soldier makes the enemy die for theirs. Because wars are not won by who had the most people die. It's won by who killed the most of the enemy. And so a good soldier does not go out there content to die for his country. He goes out there expecting to make the enemy die for theirs. Because the more of them we eliminate, the easier it is to take the victory. In the kingdom of God, this suffering for Jesus mentality is swept into the church till, Patsy, people today think that if they get a headache, if they get a pain, if they lose a job, if they get cursed, if they get spat at or accused, oh, wonderful, the kingdom's going to be enlarged. The kingdom ain't enlarged when you get fired.
That's right.
Because when you're going out the door, they're going, that's just one less of them party poopers we have to put up with.
Yeah.
Let them know what a real party is, and you don't have hangovers from yours. I don't need Mother's Little Helpers to get through my day. Are you listening, church? When I find a believer who needs a pill to get up and a pill to get down, they don't know my God. They may know about my God, but they don't know my God. Because my God will supply all of the needs of your life according to the living standard of heaven. But you've got to begin thinking blessed. You've got to start celebrating the promises before you have them in manifestation. When Lou and I had to pray about having gas to get to church because we were so financially strapped, God taught me. I learned a lesson. It's embarrassing to be laying in the floor crying out to God, God, I gave it all up for you. And hear God say, who asked you to?
Wow.
God, would you shut up? I'm suffering for you right now, and you're making it hard on me. And God taught me, he says, what you can be thankful for, you can have. Well, I've thanked myself into houses. Lou and I picked out a house, and I drove by every day, thanking God for it before it ever worked out. Now, listen, our last house, before we came into this great revelation, we had to sell it because it was up for foreclosure, and I had to sell it to keep it from going into foreclosure. And we walked away with barely anything out of it. I mean, we didn't lose the house. We did sell it days before the foreclosure would have been affected. We sold it, but instead of making $35,000, we got like $10,000. We barely walked away from it. But I began to celebrate our new house, and it was twice as big as the old house. And when we bought it, the president of the bank came to the closing and personally signed the check at the closing for our house, and our realtor was going, "Who are you?" And not only did that, but the president of the title company came down and asked the girl that was going to close the note to leave because he wanted to close my note. And she's going, "Who are you?" The president of the I've never seen Jim close a loan in all the years I've been a realtor. And the president came down and closed your house. And the president of the bank came and sat down and personally wrote a check for your house. But you see, God told me, if you can celebrate it, you can have it. And so when we were believing God that the doorbell would ring so we had groceries, we're believing God that someone would put something in our pocket so we had gas money, we went 2 years in a borrowed house because we couldn't afford to pay rent. And God taught me this. Begin to give thanks for what you want. And so if I was praying over, you know, beans and cabbage, I would say, "Father, I thank you that you do exceeding, abundant, above and beyond all that I can ask or comprehend." And I began to celebrate the abundance. It wasn't but a short period of time after we began to do that, that we went from living in a borrowed house to depositing $70,000 in 1 month. Now, there's a lot of people ain't never made $70,000 in 1 year. I haven't made it in a month. We went from can't get along to a lot of wonderful days. It wasn't but a few years later, and we exceeded $300,000 in 1 year. Because in 06, God said, "Get liquid." We got liquid. And went from not getting paid to $300,000 in 1 year. "Pastor, why are you telling all these things that you've done? Are you trying to make us feel?" No. I'm trying to tell you, God is no respecter of persons. He'll do more for you than he did for me.
Amen.
"Pastor, how do you know?" Because I haven't maxed out his grace yet. So whatever he's done in my life, he will do in your life and more.
Wow, praise God.
Do you know why we have the caliber of ministers coming to this church that other churches that are three times this size can't get in? Because we bless them here in a way that churches this size could not dream of doing. And because we've developed relationships that when they've got a problem, they call here and say, "Would you pray? Would you lift us up? Would you stand with us in this?" You see, when you begin to live a life of victory, people call you up and go, "Tara, could you pray for me?" And pretty soon, my Bible says, your gifts and talent will bring you before great men.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Amen.
I've had people managing billion-dollar portfolios come and sit down and ask counsel. Why? Because if God be for you, what can be against you? But I want you to start challenging yourself. Am I limiting God in my life? You see, in the kingdom of God, you're a king's kid. King's kid don't collect welfare. King's kids don't stand on the corner with a sign begging, "Can you help our church?" I see people standing on the corner with those signs, "Would you support our ministry?" I want to get out and just cuss at them. But I can't remember the words. You're embarrassing my God with that silly foolishness. Asking the devil's crowd to support the church. No. We should be living in such level that we make them jealous. What you drive should make the devil's crowd jealous. Where you live. What you wear. I mean, get your bling on. And don't be ashamed of it. My daddy made these diamonds. My daddy made this gold. My daddy said to the first man, the gold is in Ophir. Where's that? Iraq. The gold is in Ophir and it's good. Well, God said gold is good. And the church is going, you can't wear that gold. You'll go straight to hell. You wear that gold. Well, hell ain't got gold, but heaven do. Because the streets, the throne, our Lord and Redeemer wears a gold girdle. Now, a girdle means something different in heaven than it does down here. Jesus ain't parading around in 24-karat Spanx. It's a little different. And if you know what Spanx are, you've gotten in touch with your feminine side. But church, the kingdom of God is about, now this is deep, I want to be sure you can go there, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is about ruling and reigning in life through Christ Jesus the Lord. Through Christ Jesus the Lord. Pastor, what does it mean to rule and reign in Christ through Christ Jesus the Lord? That means through Him. So everything you get is through Him to the Father. Whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, He will give it you. For what purpose? That the Son might be glorified. How is the Son glorified? Herein is the Father glorified, that you ask what you will and He give it to you. God says, Brian, give me some glory. Ask me for something. But ask for it through Christ, and if you can't ask for it through the resurrected Lord, then you probably don't need it in your life. Because you don't ask God for a six-pack through the resurrected Lord. Yeah. God is not, you know, God is not going to be moved with your desire for an eight ball through Christ Jesus our Lord. No. I've heard a few people praying for drug, but they were just out of their mind for desire. But everything you get is through. Why? Why is it through the resurrected Lord? Because that's the filter that keeps pride, jealousy, envy out. Because if you can't ask for it through the resurrected Lord, it probably has no real place in your life. But you see, you can ask for a new house, a new car, any of those things. If you want it not to keep up with the Joneses, not to prove to somebody that you got it going on, but because you want to live in a way that people want to know about your God.
Yes.
And if you get a new car and you are unwilling to put a bumper sticker on it because you don't want to be associated with church or your car is too good to witness for God, you probably are not going to have that new car very long. Why? It has come between you and God because it's a place you can't glorify God. Now, if you just have an absolute turnoff about bumper stickers, that's another thing. But most people don't have an absolute turnoff about bumper stickers. It's just now that they've arrived, they don't want everybody to know where they spend their time. What is the kingdom of God? It's the rule and reign of God. So in your health, what would the rule and reign of God do? It would elevate you to heaven's standard where there is. You know, when I say He will supply all your needs according to the living standard of heaven, I am telling you, Matthew 6:10, in earth as it is in heaven. What's the living standard of heaven about health? There ain't no sickness. So what does God want? to do for you. He wants to supply you health according to heaven's standard where there's no sickness.
Right.
Not just reduce your fever to where it's tolerable, keep the pain down where you can endure under it. No, God wants you pain-free, sickness-free. And I want you to get this tonight, because your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven means the kingdom standard for your finances, the kingdom standard for your peace, the kingdom standard for your joy, the kingdom standard. In America, we have the standard equivalents, SAE. Excuse me. In Europe, they have metric. Metric is trying to creep into the U.S., but basically, our standard of measure is on SAE, and that's the standard of measure for how long is this? If you want to know how long a piece of string is, you get out your SAE approved measuring device. A few years ago, I saw a government ruler, and it said 1, 2, 12, and it was like this long. No, a SAE ruler is 12 inches long. How do you know how long something is? You measure it by the standard. How do you know how your health should be? Well, I took a poll among people at church, and I'm feeling about as good as the rest of them. No. According to the living standard of heaven, because your kingdom come, your will be done on earth like it is heaven. What's God's standard in heaven about money?
Riches.
I mean, the front gate's a pearl.
Yes, sir.
Now, I have no idea the size of the clam that pearl came out of, but the front gate is one solid pearl. The throne is solid gold. The streets are gold so pure it's transparent. Now, that's some fine gold.
Yes, sir.
I've seen 22, 24. I found some gold in Egypt that was stamped 25 carat, and I'm going, 25 carat? I ain't seen 25 carat gold, but when I put the thumbnail test on it, it did scratch. You could scratch the gold with your thumbnail, so it was pretty soft. I don't know what the purest gold is. Here, most of the time, we're content with 24. Egypt, I found 25. In London, most of the jewelry stores carried 9-carat gold, and I'm like, but you see, they was tight on money. But I can tell you one thing, you don't want to buy 9-carat gold unless you like green on your fingers. Ain't having none of that 9-carat gold stuff. Dental gold is 8-carat, and that's bad enough. But at least you can brush that once in a while. But it has to be strong so you don't damage it. What is the standard? What's going on in heaven? There's a tree in the midst that the leaves are for the healing of the nation.
Amen. Amen.
I mean, can you imagine? Anything goes wrong, you just go by a leaf and...
Praise God.
There's no lack. They have a wedding supper that goes on forever. You know what you never have to worry about in heaven? Leftovers. There's not a book in heaven, 27 ways to refresh leftovers. It is time that we as a people ask ourselves, are we struggling through in a suffering for Jesus mentality, in a subsisting mentality? Well, I can put up with the pain a little bit longer. I can do without that. Or are we saying, no, I'm a child of the King. Children of the King don't beg. Children of the King don't do without. Children of the King live like King's kids. No matter what I've achieved in life to this point, no matter what I've arrived at, you ain't seen nothing yet. God wants to do things in your life that will equip you, will empower you, will infuse you, will take you to higher heights. God will do great things in your life. But I want you to start thinking. Brother Arthur came to me the other day, and if this embarrasses you, Brother Arthur, I ask for forgiveness. He said, I just want to give somebody a car. Well, Lou and I have done that over 20 times. Give somebody a car, and we're going to keep doing it. Why? It's fun. I got excited. I'm going to get to help Brother Arthur give a car to somebody. That's a good seed to put in the ground. So I expect Robert and Ava, I mean, they're driving a new Cadillac now, but I'm waiting to see what the harvest on their last seed comes in at. I want you to begin thinking about donating cars. Donating houses. I've given away two. I've given two houses away, one to a church and one to an individual. Church came to me and said, can we have that house? It was my rent house, but they asked for it. I gave it to them. When you get to a point that you can give away houses and not miss it, not weep over it, oh, God, wait. I know this. I've got house seed in the ground because someone hasn't come along yet and given me a house. But somebody is coming along to give me a house, and it will be 30, 60, or 100 times better than what I gave away.
Amen. Praise God.
I know this. I've got a lot of car seed in the ground. I'm expecting somebody to come along, and what kind of car would 20 cars given be like? What kind of harvest can you expect on 20 cars? The kingdom of God is a reality that God wants in the earth. And he said to us, begin to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth like it is in heaven. If God actually did on earth what's being done in heaven, how would your lifestyle be increased? We were at men's lunch one day, and Brother Brian began to talk about the new house they just moved into and what God had done. Well, I've watched them since they started the church go from an apartment to a beautiful new home and a new addition, and they're living nicer. They're driving nicer. I watched other people in this body that started this church when they started coming to House of the Lord was on food stamps go to where they're making $10,000, $12,000, $15,000 a month. What are you believing God for? Getting by or getting over? Say this with me. I'm tired of getting by. I'm ready to get over. What is over? I'm over being broke.
Amen.
I'm over doing without. I'm over coming up short. I'm over losing. But you've got to begin to celebrate before you get there, because there's a scripture that'll tell you how to drive a new Cadillac or a new Ferrari. It's up to what you want. The kingdom of God is a real place God intends for people on earth to live in before he returns. Now, if there's going to be a people who's going to live in kingdom provision and kingdom abundance in the earth, then we've got a saying, if somebody, why not me? If sometime, why not now? If somewhere, why not here? Get this tonight, John, the kingdom of God being manifest has got to start someplace in the earth. Why not at your house? Why not in your bank account? Why not in your jewelry box? I remember the first time I walked in and handed my wife a full-length mink coat that I paid cash for. Wasn't on the credit card, you know, 97 easy payments. I was at a furrier one day. I'd gone on a mission trip, and when we got back into the country, there was a furrier there that was going out of business. And I stopped by and got it for less than half price. So I took home a full-length mink, and my wife said, oh. One day I was at a jewelry store, and I saw this beautiful Cartier watch. And I paid cash for it and brought it home, handed my wife a Cartier, and she said, I don't really like it. You see, when you're in the kingdom, you can not like stuff. Of course, she ain't never going to get no more Cartier. Act like after enough people bragged on it, she started wearing it. But now listen, we lived in a borrowed house for 2 years because we couldn't afford to pay rent. And had to believe God for gas to get to church. Had to sometimes believe God for a car because we was driving a borrowed car. And to go from that to buying Cartier watches cash, buying mink coats cash, enjoying the abundance of God. And, hon, I ain't gone nowhere yet. Lou and I was talking one day. I've made $1 million a few times. But I want to make it in one day. I don't want to make it over a period of 3 years or over a period of a year. No, I want to do it in one day. But now I've begun to think, $1 million is enough. I want to make billions in one day, and I'm about to do it. In a few days, I will make millions of dollars in one day. And then you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to move it up. Well, if we can do millions in a day, we could probably do tens of millions in a day. Well, Pastor, what are you going to do with it? I don't know. Do a few things I want to do, give some away, invest in the ministry, spread it around a little bit. Because once you learn that you can make $1,000 an hour, you realize I can do that anytime. Once Lou and I learned about the abundance of God, we actually talked about selling my factory, selling our house, buying a motorhome, and just traveling because I knew what I've learned, I can make money in any town, anywhere, anytime. You see, when somebody tells you can only do one thing, one place, and just be content. No, when you learn who you are in Christ Jesus, you know, I can make money anywhere. You can drop me on a deserted island, and I would have a mansion, and I would have stuff before long. Why? There ain't a place on the face of the earth that God can't bless you. Lou and I have gone to mission fields, and they said, you can't hear. And by the end of the week, I was doing it. Amen. And they said, we've never had it like this down here. And I said, it's available. You just got to be determined that I will not be denied what my covenant provides. Amen. The blessings of the Lord make rich and add no sorrow is not theology. Rudy, it's a promise of God. The blessings of the Lord make rich and add no sorrow. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Yes, someday I'm going, no, not that kingdom, this kingdom. He's already got that kingdom taken care of. It's this kingdom that needs to be brought under authority. But you will not get under authority thinking, how many years do I have to work before I can afford to retire? No. I can retire anytime I want to. I can make a good living and never get out of bed. Why? The blessings of the Lord make rich and add no sorrow. But why don't we have it? We've allowed stinking thinking to keep us captive, just like in my life, until I began to understand the goodness of the Lord. I walked around scared stiff that if I said anything wrong, lightning was going to come out of the sky and take me right off the sidewalk. I mean, Under that mentality, you walk down the street and see a greasy spot and wonder what they did wrong. I want to pastor a church, Patsy, that there's not one oil stain in the parking lot. Because everybody's driving so fine that ain't none of their cars leak.
Right.
Except over in the Harley section. Where they park the Harleys, they'll be oil stained because that just they're just marking their territory. A Harley that doesn't leak is called Honda. But church, God has us teaching kingdom on Wednesday nights not to cause you to get heavenly minded. No, you're supposed to get bringing heaven to earth minded. He said he would supply your riches, or would supply all your needs according to the riches of God in Christ Jesus in heaven. That's why it says, whatever you want, you get through Christ, because the riches and the things you have got to be wanted for the right reason. Pastor Jim, I just want it so I can give it to somebody. Stop being silly. You know you want a fine ride. You know you want a fine house.
Yes, sir.
And if you can get a fine ride and a fine house, then you can get two fine houses and give one away. But first you got to get you a fine house. You got to get, the Bible says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. So I've got to love me before I can love them, because I ain't real happy with me. My neighbor's in trouble. But I like me. I'm good people. I know me. I've been around me a long time. I love me. Therefore, I can love anybody because I am at peace with who I am. Do I do everything right? No. Have I got all the answers? No. But I got peace. Because I love me, I can love you. But I want every person in this body to start thinking kingdom in your health, in your wealth, in your joy, in your peace, in your victory, in your boldness. My God shall supply all of Ethel's needs according to the living standard of heaven, one translation says, but your King James, according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Well, why is the riches in Christ Jesus? Yes, that's spiritual, Brother Chip. That's spiritual. No. He said, all authority in heaven and in earth is given to me.
Amen.
Now, what does that authority mean? He has the authority to tell the money to come. And he showed us that when he sent Peter fishing. He got Peter involved in taking authority over the wealth of the earth. So when I learn that whatever I ask for, I ask through Christ Jesus the Lord, I'm asking it through all that authority that I now have access to, because I'm in Him, and in Him I have joint heirship. I can draw on that authority over health, over wealth, over joy, over peace. You see, instead of praying for peace, you need to order peace to come, because you have the authority to rule over it. Now, when you start thinking this way, things don't magically change. I went to church Wednesday night. The pastor told me I have authority. Thursday morning, I changed my whole world. No. But if you changed your mind about you and your authority, you're on the road to getting there.
Yes.
Lou and I, then the day the Lord taught me, and I began to pray, Father, I thank you that you do exceeding, abundant, above, and beyond. We were still going on for a time there struggling. But within a matter of just a few months, we went from struggling to buying a new five-bedroom house, a house that she had dreamed about years earlier. We went and got that very house. And we began to live very well. But understand this, the world system can't do it for you. I went to work at 12, making 50 cents an hour, cleaning up construction sites. I worked through high school. I've worked my whole life. I've worked for 50 cents an hour. I've worked for $200 an hour. I have worked for a short time for $1,000 an hour. And I can tell you this, it don't matter how much you make, if you work for it, it's never enough. If you work for it, it's never enough. But when you learn to cooperate with it, then you can do the impossible with nothing. And some of y'all have watched the impossible be done with nothing when we begin to praise God that He supplies all of our needs, and we needed $3 million and God supplied it. And unlike a lot of people who, well, the hospital just wrote it off. No, no, no. They got paid because the doctors, the nurses, they deserve to be paid. Not what they was charging, but we're going to cut you up and charge you $1 million for it. That's a lot of money, and I'm the one getting cut on. Seems like you could take a couple of them stitches for that kind of money. But church, get this. The kingdom of God is a place where God's rule is exercised through you over situations in your life and in the life of the people around you. Why does it say that you will rule in this life, Gail, as kings and priests unto God, if God didn't expect you to rule as kings and priests in this life? I shared with you a few weeks ago, Matthew 12:28. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. The kingdom of God is when the power of God is in manifestation. Casting out the devil, dividing the sea, turning water to wine. Anytime kingdom authority supersedes earthly conditions, the kingdom of God has come. So when you change the weather, I was coming home the other day, sleet started on my windshield, my niece was with me, I said, I curse that in Jesus' name, you stop. We hadn't drove 50 feet and it stopped. Why? I don't like sleet. I don't want it on my car, I don't want to drive in it. Well, Pastor, you think you can just curse it and it'll stop? Yeah. Done it many times. Well, has it worked every single time? I'm still working on my batting average, but I'm getting there. It's happened enough. I know it's possible. And if you don't let the devil magnify that one time it didn't and make you forget about all the times it did, then you'll get up again. When I was a child, I got knocked down. And my parents were different. They said, you go back and you get him and you keep going back and don't you come home till you whip him. I thought you was on my side. I didn't realize they were. That's why the Bible said a good man falls down 7 times but gets up 8. God is saying, look, just because it didn't work this time, don't quit. Get up and go again because you can develop your batting average. I would like to tell you that every single person I've laid hands on experienced instantaneous manifestations of health and life. But more of them are experiencing it now than were when I first started. Because I can remember when it was like 8 people would come for prayer and one of them had a testimony. It's 1 out of 8, God. You know, that's not very good. Now it's more like 7 of them have a testimony. Maybe one of them doesn't. But you see, I'm not content until 8 out of 8. There have been things I've prayed for and I didn't get at that particular time. But everything I've prayed for, I'll get sooner or later. But you see, I didn't quit believing God because I didn't get that car or that house or that. I once prayed over a scratch-off ticket. It didn't do too good. I decided right quick God didn't want me in the scratch-off ministry, but I gave it a shot. Went in, bought that ticket, laid hands on it, prayed over it, scratched it off, and went, I knew it. I got what I was believing for. You see, I was trying it. I wasn't ruling over it. When I get that ruling over it and not sinning against God down, I'll go back and get another one. This time I'll win. But you see, I don't need a scratch-off ticket. I got the blessings of the Lord. I'm blessed every day. We're on page 2, Acts 14:22. Strengthening souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations must we enter the kingdom of God. Learning what the kingdom of God is and how it operates and functions is not an easy or simple truth to learn. Why? Because everything in your life is contrary to kingdom truth. Nothing about your growing up in the world system taught you how to be healed. The world system teaches you how to fear. Right now, Southern California is in panic because there was an outbreak of measles at Disney World or Disneyland. West Coast is Disneyland, East Coast is Disney World. Outbreak of measles. And so people now are afraid to get into public sitting because there's an outbreak of measles. And all across the nation, people are wondering, you've been to California lately? Why? Because fear rules rather than faith. But we have got to hear news like that and instantly say, it'll not come nigh my dwelling.
Amen.
Instead of, you know, has any of your kids been to Disneyland lately? No. Any of your family been to California? No. It don't matter. If everybody we know went to California, it will not come nigh my dwelling because I have a promise, Psalms 91. It will not come nigh my dwelling. And I've put Psalms 91 on my house. I've put it on my family. So we don't worry about the flu season. I still have to go to the VA on a regular basis. And just about every time I go in, have you had your flu shot? No. Do you want your flu shot? No. What about your pneumonia shot?
No.
But you want to be safe, don't you? I am.
Amen.
I've been inoculated. I don't need to be vaccinated.
Amen.
I've been inoculated by it is written. It will not come nigh my dwelling. Why would I want a vaccination when I got an inoculation?
Right.
What is the kingdom of God? It is the rule and reign of God in your health, in your wealth, in your joy, in your peace, in your hope, in your expectancy, in your aspirations, in the drives of your life. But it ain't easy, John, because you didn't get taught in the world or in nominal churches to rule and reign. You got taught to suffer for Jesus. You're a Christian. You just have to endure the persecution. No, I don't. If Jesus, there were 11 attempts on the life of Christ and he would just walk away. If Jesus could walk away, I can walk away. If Paul could shake a snake, not just a snake, an adder, super poisonous snake, if he could just shake it off into the fire, then what can you do? Kingdom authority, the angel said to Peter, shake it and wake it. And the chains fell off and he walked out of prison. Why? Because he was full of faith? No, because he questioned the angel. He questioned what was going on. But God was teaching him there's a power greater than you're willing to walk in. And so Paul could later say, when he's under a death sentence, I'm trying to decide whether to live or die. Wait a minute, Paul, that's not your decision. I mean, Caesar's in charge. No, it was his decision. When the mob came, Jesus could have walked away. And there was nothing they could have done about it. But he laid down his life to teach you. It's a decision that you make. How much you endure, how much you allow. And so when Pilate said, I've got the power of life and death, and he goes, you wouldn't have any power at all. And in a couple of days, I'm going to take back the power you're operating in now. Because I'm going to strip the devil of the authority he stole from Adam. And Jesus said, most of the power on earth is given to me. All. What is all power? What does it mean to you? Is that only a spiritual connotation? Yes, I have the power to praise God. I have the power to witness. No. That's the power over gold, the power over silver, over diamonds, the power over health, the power over water, the power over governments, because he said all authority in heaven, not all power, all authority. What's the difference in power and authority? Power, you have to do it. Authority, it performs for you. The kingdom of God can do everything but get me through page 2 in one message. He entered the synagogue and continued speaking out boldly for 3 months. Pastor Jim, you've been on this kingdom stuff now for over a month. It took Paul 3 months reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. How many facets or aspects to the kingdom, rule, and reign of God are there for you to learn? I'm telling you, there's a scripture that tells you how to get wealthy. There's a scripture that tells you how to get healthy, wealthy, wise. There's a scripture that tells you how to get friends. There's a scripture that tells you how to stop the devil dead in his tracks. And you have the authority to use that scripture when you're doing it through Christ Jesus the Lord. God said, I want Brian Rivers to rule and reign in this life over everything that opposes him. What's opposing you? Mortgage payments, electric bills, taxes. You can take authority over all of those things and render them helpless against you without having to go into your pocket. The magnitude of the kingdom of God almost boggles the mind. These truths of the kingdom must be spiritually discerned. I'm going to stop for tonight right here. And we haven't even gotten into the notes I made on the notes to bring to you tonight, so the notes would be more than sufficient. Because all the good stuff was on page 3, but if it takes us 3 months, it'll take us 3 months to get there. I want you to recognize that the kingdom of God is not possible. It's already been released into the earth. And he didn't say, Demetrius, I want you to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, because it was your responsibility to bring it here. He was saying, I want you to cooperate with what's already my will. You don't have to make it my will. You don't have to even make it happen. You cooperate with me, and the area to which you cooperate with me is the area to which I'll manifest. For all of the years from Adam, when God said, rule and reign in the earth, subdue it and have dominion over it, from then till Christ, it was possible for it to be done. And there were times when individuals stepped into that for a minute and called fire down out of heaven, parted a sea, brought water out of a rock. There were instances where people under the law walked in dominion and ruled and reigned in situations, told the sun to stand still, told the son to go backwards. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. Some people marvel that someone can read the stars and tell you what's going, can compute your sign and all that. Wait a minute. God made the stars and the moon. Daniel became so adept at reading the stars and all that he could do the king's chart better than the witches and warlocks could. Why? Because God can show you how to do the devil's job better than the devil's doing it. And Daniel proved it. But Daniel was able to sleep with the lions and live to tell about it. The three Hebrew children were able to go through a fiery furnace, and all that was burned off of them was what they didn't put on themselves. They were able to pray, and food fell out of heaven under the law.
Yeah.
What can you do with a better covenant and better promises? If they could resurrect the dead under law, what can you do under grace?
Amen.
The kingdom hadn't been loosed. Well, it had been loosed, but it had been bound by Satan. So they were doing that when the kingdom wasn't loosed. Now, on this side of the cross, the kingdom is loosed. Are we thinking God thoughts? Are we still thinking religious thoughts? For 4,000 years, it was prophesied that a son would come. He would be born of a virgin, and he would do exploits in the earth. It took 4,000 years for it to get here, but it still happened. Well, Pastor, 2,000 years ago, God said the kingdom would come into manifestation. And when it did, then Jesus, once all of the kingdoms of the earth had been subdued, God would return and he would give those kingdoms to the Father. Yes, and it's still going to happen. How much of it will happen in your time is up to you. But we're going to keep talking about the kingdom. And pretty soon, Brenda, y'all are going to be driving better, living better, thinking bolder, and performing things that you never thought you would be able to perform because religion had kept you back from the authority that already is in you. If under the law you were taught thou shalt decree a thing and it shall be established for you, how much more under the new covenant when Jesus said you'll say to the mountain, be thou removed, cast in the sea, and it'll have to obey you. You'll say to that tree, wither and die, and it'll have to obey you. Think of how much money you could make if you had a landscape company and you got someone's house and they said, I want a tree just like that over there, right here in my front yard. And you go, tree, here. That's 300. Now, you can laugh at that, but Jesus said you can reach the point where creation has to obey you. Because God said everything that he spoke into existence, except another person, is subject to your authority. So if he created the birds, they're subject. If he created the trees, they're subject. How much easier would it be to walk out to your front yard and go, roses, petunias, begonias, magnolia, there. Lunch. Now, I was saying that with a certain amount of frivolous embellishment, but it's possible. It is within your kingdom authority to walk in that level of life. But you're first going to have to deal with a headache, rent money, light bill. But you see, you're building a reputation. And if you fall down the first time you try it, you get right back up and try it again. Because a good man blows it seven times, but makes it on the eighth. What is that? God gave you kingdom permission to fail. Because you don't learn how to bat 1,000 the first time you're at the plate. You got to spend a little time in the batting cage working on your game. Church, don't be afraid to work on your game. Talk to your headache. And keep talking to them until they obey you. Talk to your bank account and keep talking to it. I remember talking to my bank account a lot of times, telling it, you'll never be broke. Another day. But you see, I got to that point. I'll never be broke another day in my life. I am blessed continually. I abound in all fullness. But I don't want to be the only one. I want you to decide what you want. And then take authority over it and possess it. And do not be disappointed if you talk to that car 10 times before one shows up in your driveway. Don't be disappointed if you talk to that house 10 times before one comes to you, or 50 times. Learn this: if I can celebrate having it, I can own it. Are you blessed?
Yes.
Father, I decree that this people walk in a level of blessings that no one has ever walked in before. That you're ushering this people into a new level of authority, a new level of dominion, a new level of increase that turns and changes the world around them. Father, they walk in such way, form, and fashion that men see the good deeds that they're accomplishing and glorify God, knowing there ain't no way outside God that could happen. But Father, it's happening. I loose kingdom authority in this people and decree this people rises up in kingdom authority to do exploits in the name of the Lord. And the people said,
amen.
You're loved, you're blessed, go with God.